D-Mace Fingen and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingen here with you, and as he does every Monday at 1 o'clock, joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, ESPN, NFL Nation reporter, Titans reporter, that is, Teron Davenport. Teron, I hope you had a restful bye week. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Restful bye week. Good to go.
Excellent. So as we left the Titans, they won in Miami. They did so without Jeffrey Simmons because of an elbow injury. Will Levis injures his shoulder. Mason Rudolph comes in, helps the Titans win their first game of the season. Should we expect Will Levis and Jeffrey Simmons to be full go, close to full go, as the Titans start practice this week?
Well, yeah, Brian Callahan said Will Levis should be good to go, so you take that for what it is. Jeffrey Simmons, when he was asked about that, he just said that that's kind of, you know, a day-to-day thing, and they'll see. And it's one of those things where it will be some pain tolerance, and it's just going to be like how well Simmons is able to protect himself. That's the main thing. So I would say Simmons is kind of touch and go. We'll see, but it's very likely that Levis is back.
So with that in mind, Teron, Will Levis has been under a lot of scrutiny over the past 4 weeks because of his play to start the season. Knowing Levis as you do, what do you think this bye week can do for him to take that breather? And how do you think he'll respond now that he should, as you say, get back in the lineup on Sunday against the Colts?
Yeah, I think it's a good opportunity for self-reflection, and there's some things that he obviously has to think about and want to fix and rewire, as he phrased it. So we'll see what happens there. I think he's going to bounce back. Well, you know what? I'm not going to say that. I believe he's going to, but it remains to be seen, to be honest with you. You can't really make any definitive judgments based off of what we've seen up to this point, where there's a variety of decisions that have repeated themselves and in different occasions, and it's not been good. So we'll see. That's the way I would approach it.
Now, TD, with the play of Devondre Sweat last week, and he played outstanding. The big fella was moving around. He looked like that Outland Trophy winner out of Texas. Does this take the pressure off of the Titans defense to try to rush Jeffrey Simmons back? Because, you know, with Jeffrey Simmons, obviously this is a much better defensive front, but at least you know you have Sebastian Day there, and then you have the big fella Sweat now starting to come into his own. Does that give the Titans a little breather to say, hey, listen, if Simmons isn't 100%, let's hold him out another week?
Yeah, I think this is a week that they could do that if they want. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who's going to be playing quarterback for the Colts, but either way, you could afford to kind of work around not having Simmons out there. They definitely would like to have him out there, but you're right. Given the play of Devondre Sweat, it does give you that luxury. And quietly, Sebastian Joseph Day has had a really mm-hmm. good season, and he's just been a steady veteran that has come in and made some plays. He got a couple sacks, and he's doing his thing as well. So they could do that, and I think, you know, to kind of make up for that, they'll just have to make sure that they attack that interior gap, you know, with their linebackers, Ernest Jones IV and Kenneth Murray.
Now, has there been talk this off week? And I know the guys have been out of there, but the coaches have still been there. Talk about how to get this offense clicking, how to get it to be consistent, getting this offense on the roll, because we haven't quite seen this offense really get into a rhythm the way that we thought they would once they added all these pieces.
Yeah, I think the main thing has just been finding that balance on offense. Brian Callahan spoke about it today. They have to be able to run the football, but they want to throw it too, and being able to morph into whatever it is that they have to do at that moment and do that well. I think that's the main thing. So a balanced attack, that's their goal.
Talking to Teron Davenport, setting up the Titans and the Colts, a big one. TD, just a quick vibe check from you, especially with the Mets playing the Phillies. And you know about that that territory that you're from, like that area between New York and Philadelphia, that Jersey Turnpike where there's a lot of mix between those two fans. That is going to be unbelievable, the atmosphere tomorrow in New York.
Yeah, I mean, I lived in both cities, you know, originally in New York, and that's where I, you know, cut my teeth as a sports fan, right, you know, with the Mets, and that's why I still, even after living in Philadelphia and the surrounding area for so long, that's why I remained a Mets fan, you know, and it's definitely a rivalry. It's this is the first time the two teams have played each other in the postseason because of the different rules and things like that have come into play, so it's cool. I really thought they should have stole one yesterday, but you know, it came up short. Diaz, you know, allowed the runs, and here we are, you know. So it's unfortunate, but I tell you, that Mark Vientos continues to do his thing, man. I really like him.
It was a tough one yesterday, but if you told me before that they'd get the split in Philly, I think I would have taken it. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. TD, Tavondre Sweat, D-Mace asked you about him. One of the questions I put out there for our show was, does he have a chance to finish in the top 10 in Defensive Rookie of the Year? And one of the reasons I said it was we were watching what he was doing every day in practice, but I didn't think nationally a lot of people had him on the radar at all. Do you think he's starting to get the attention around the league that he probably deserves based on how he's played so far?
I think somewhat. The problem is what he does, it doesn't show up as much as the sacks do, and that's the main thing. You know, you look at a defensive lineman, you know, the stat chasers, they always say, hey, well, how many sacks does he have? So that, I think, is going to hurt him. But, I mean, if you sit there and you watch the game and you look at that end zone copy and you see him reestablishing the line of scrimmage in the offense's backfield, you could really appreciate what he's doing out there.
What do you think they did as they went back to the drawing board? Because I think you asked some questions along these lines after they beat Miami, and you kind of were looking ahead when you do that self-evaluation during any bye week. But the role definition at wide receiver, how do you think they try to go through that process and sort it out? Because I think that's an important question, is having everybody flourish in the role that's set out for them, because they've got some difficult pieces to fit together.
Yeah, there are some difficult pieces. I think really the big thing is getting them the football, right? And getting the time to get them the football. That's another big thing. So, yeah, there's different roles and things that these guys are playing. Treylon Burks, he continues to be a deep threat that doesn't necessarily get the deep completions. So that's something they're going to have to get together and figure out, because that will open things up underneath more. But it's just there's no consistency whatsoever to the offense, and that's the big problem.
Teron, looking at this division, the AFC South, now it seems like Houston is far and away the best team, but it seems they lost their number one option last night, and Nico Collins, don't know how long he's going to be out with a hamstring. You see Indianapolis, they lost their starting quarterback, but I think they may be a tad bit better with Joe Flacco at quarterback because he wants to push the ball down the field. Then you look at the Titans in Jacksonville. Realistically, looking at this division outside of Houston, do the Titans, if they manage to get things together, do the Titans have a realistic chance to push for that second spot? Or even if Houston have any more injuries, even sort of push the Houston Texans? I'm not saying they're going to overtake them, but push them, because it just seems like this division is getting more depleted as we move on week after week. You look at Jacksonville, they've lost guys. They even talk about trading ETN. So a lot of teams are not in the position that they thought they would be in at this point of the season.
Yeah, well, one of those teams is the Titans. Yeah. So that has to be considered. But if they could get things together, and that's a big if, I would imagine they could push them. But again, just based off of what we've seen, I can't say definitively that this is a team that's going to compete, because we've just seen some bad football, right? The Green Bay game was bad. The Chicago game, stretches of it were bad. The Jets game, the same thing. The Dolphins game, was so-so, but we know that's not really a good Dolphins team. So I would say they're right there behind the Texans. They're right there with the Colts and Jaguars, and it's just kind of like a cluster of teams just vying for a position to maybe have a late strike against the Texans. Fortunately, the Titans, they still have two games against Houston, you know, one here and then one in Houston. And then you also look at the fact that this is going to be their first divisional game, so they're opening up that part of the schedule.
Teron, last one before we let you go. What are some of your initial thoughts on the Colts and one of the stranger streaks in the NFL, the Colts losing in Jacksonville 37-34. They have not won a road game against the Jaguars since, I believe, 2014. Now, one of those games was a game in London where the Jags were considered the home team, but the Colts have not had any success on the road in Jacksonville. No Jonathan Taylor, Joe Flacco, Alec Pierce connected for some deep shots late in the game to make the game interesting. If Joe Flacco were to start for the Colts on Sunday, what can we expect from the Colts offense and what challenges does it pose for the Titans defense?
Yeah, he's going to throw the ball down the field. He's going to look to spread it around. And I think you could expect things to be more on schedule. So it's a gift and a curse, so to speak, in that you know how the offense is going to flow. You don't have to worry about, although he did have a really good scramble yesterday, but for the most part, you don't have to worry about that freelancing, that extending plays and having a plaster for 6 seconds. You don't have to worry about that, but at the same time, you got to worry about things going the way the offense is planning to go. So it's a tough assignment either way. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor, if healthy, is a threat running the football. So you do have that. And I think the main thing is they got to be physical with A.D. Mitchell. He seemed to struggle a bit with that, the Cambridge product. And so if they be physical with him, I think that will help them come along.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us as he does every Monday at 1 o'clock. Teron, welcome back from the bye, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, appreciate it. Take care.
Yep. Teron Davenport.
LGM.
I just have to say, Derek, have you ever seen Joe Flacco run like that?
Oh, yeah.
That was a heck of a
run.
I saw it. I was like, wow, look at this. The announcers for the game, too.
Derek's
like,
old
wow.
teammate, Joe Flacco.
Hey, Joe caught a touchdown pass, and he caught it and ran majority of the way. So that was his rookie season, though, when he was a little lad, you know, about the size of a grasshopper. He had a little speed to him, but he did march down the field running the football after he caught a pass. So I think it was about 40, 50 yards, and he showed a little speed. And he shows some speed this weekend, so there you go.
So according to Next Gen Stats, Flacco reached a top speed of 18.76 miles per hour on his 21-yard scramble, his fastest speed as a ball carrier in the Next Gen Stats era since 2016. So maybe he hit a higher speed on the play that you're referencing, but since at least 2016, that was the fastest we've seen Joe Flacco run in almost 10 years.
That might be the fastest you see him run, period.
That was awesome. The first thing the announcer said was, let's check the stats to see if that's his longest run ever.
You know what? The weird part about this, because reading that article that you sent, Adam, about why teams wouldn't sign Joe Flacco, because it was almost that fear of him, you know, overshadowing the starting quarterback.
Which is what's happening.
But I think Indianapolis is in a position. They're like, listen, Richardson's our quarterback no matter what Joe does. And I'm with them on that because Joe only has so many years left in his league. I wonder if the Titans thought that as well because when free agency started, if you were comparing the two, you would have thought, I'm taking Flacco over Mason Rudolph. Yeah, that's just a logical way of thinking. You're talking about a Super Bowl winning
comeback player of the year.
Yeah, comeback player of the year.
Off the couch, leading the Browns
Why
to the playoffs,
wouldn't
right?
Why would you go after a quarterback like that?
Which what makes did they me pay Flacco as opposed to what the Titans paid Rudolph? That should be factored in.
I guess, but I'm sure he's not getting, you know,
because
10,
the Titans
12,
had the budget
million
to go
dollars.
After whatever they wanted.
Yeah,
really.
That's what
they
I'm saying.
A lot of money.
So did you not bring him in because you were scared that if he got in there, he would you know, sort of outshine your starting quarterback?
My very quick research says the Colts signed Joe Flacco to a one-year deal up to $8.7 million.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Rudolph, like, I think, was in the five range, between five and six, I believe.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, why didn't you go after Joe Flacco, who had put together a good body of work last year, as opposed to going for Mason? Listen, Mason's okay. But if I want to see how my offense is going to run, wouldn't I go get Joe Flacco that used to pushing the ball down the field? But you compromise your team for your quarterback. That's the stuff that I'm talking. And we talked about that. And I just got on a tangent right here. But I hate that. It's like, so you're compromising the other 51 players for one guy? Because he's your quarterback. You said he's my quarterback. He's starting. When he's ready, he's back in the starting lineup. Okay, what if he continues to play poorly? Then what? You're going to eventually go to Mason Rudolph. Well, you could have had Joe Flacco here.
It'd be interesting if they had Flacco, because he's got more credentials, resume, skins on the wall than Mason Rudolph, who is, and I think that's part by design. I think that's what you're getting at, right? Let's not. And you said this years ago when they had Matt Hasselbeck and they let him go because there was kind of a sense of, well, Matt Hasselbeck's still pretty good. We need Jake Locker to jump in there. We don't want people to say, well, Matt Hasselbeck's still better.
And I think they did it again.
They brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick, who made the rounds as a backup to, I don't know, 12, 15, 20 teams before it's all over. But there's a different feeling. It's not as strong. If you had Flacco as your backup and he had done – what he was doing, I think there would be a much stronger push. Let's go with Flacco. Then Mason Rudolph, who, as well as he was, looked steady, it was still kind of, well, it's still Mason Rudolph, right? He hasn't done in the league anything close to what Flacco's done.
There was an interesting tidbit, by the way, in a column from Diana Russini of The Athletic as it relates to Mason Rudolph, which I do want to touch on next, as well as get back to our review of our Titans questions, Willie's Titans questions from before the season. We did our first three on Friday. We'll do three more next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.